I mean, you throw AI in there and you think of how that's going to affect shoppable commerce or recommendations or what we're able to do 5 years from now. I think it will be a seismic shift in adoption.
Hey, Laurie, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good. Just, you know, complain a bit about the New York weather, but it is what it is, I guess, right? You know, I get, you know, used to this, you know, period of the year. So not the best for the energy, but I am, you know, always energetic for episodes for the podcast. I'm very happy to have you here today, you know, talk about everything that it's from, you know, search and social and digital, you know, creative aspects, community. There is a lot going, you know, like on today. But before we get started, usually I ask a couple of like, you know, actually three specific questions to our new guests on something that I call MAP, that is basically mission, achievements, and purpose, right? And the first one is basically like, what do you like, you know, aim to achieve, either professionally or personally? And then achievements, of course, anything that you want to share with us in terms of like milestone in your career or life or both. And the last one is the purpose. So basically like why, like you do what you do.
Well, first of all, I love the energy on a cloudy New York day. No, thank you. Yeah. So my MAP, I mean, as it relates to my career, my ultimate goal is to have a positive impact on pushing culture forward, as I truly feel like marketing and advertising are two of the top avenues that are helping shape the future of the world that we live in. So on a daily basis, that just means pushing the boundaries of the status quo and think bringing new thinking and opportunities to market, which is something I'm always striving to do. And as it relates to milestones in my career, I take a lot of pride in having helped lead paid media for some of our country's top brands, including Under Armour and Delta Vacations. And what I'm most proud of, though, is my current role at Daring Foods, which is a frozen plant-based chicken company, where I've played a role in propelling the brand to being the number one unbreaded plant-based chicken in the category. And I truly feel like based on the state of the market and where the industry is at and shoppers just rising up to what's included in their plant-based alternatives, I think it's really only up from here for the Daring brand. Then I think the last one was purpose. And yeah, again, I mean, knowing that or believing marketing and advertising are some of the top avenues that are shaping culture, I think it's just really exciting to be a part of that and be a part of what's pushing that forward.
Amazing. No, it makes sense. And thank you for that. And, you know, talking about, you know, being part of this, like, you know, digital, like, you know, work, right? If I'm right, you lead like a team where you basically like, you know, you go across like so many different like aspects of our market, right? I just like have some notes here, but I'm talking about, you know, shopper, digital, social, search, creative, CRM, PR, project management, and analytics capabilities. First of all, wow, like it's definitely like many areas to cover. And so my question for you is, what are the biggest like, you know, lessons that you learned so far working on so many, again, cross, you know, tasks, cross like, you know, sections, even like, you know, if still staying in the digital arena?
Yeah, well, thank you. No, and great question. I think it's been really exciting to have played such an impactful role in the Daring Foods team. And there's definitely a few lessons that come to mind that I wish I could have been able to pass down to my younger self. I think the first one right now is to recognize that in 2023 post-COVID, I think there's been a significant shift in the way that people want to be managed and what drives them forward and what motivates them. And I think looking at that on an individual basis and ensuring you're kind of really showing up for your team and their individual needs is a crucial part of, I think, how team leaders need to interact right now. And secondly, I think is a little positive feedback can really go a long way. It's easy to get bogged down in the day-to-day, especially in the agency and startup world, and creating a fun and engaging work environment plus a direct feedback loop for that positive feedback that's motivating, I think can really make a difference in retaining the high performing individuals. And then lastly, I think one of my top recommendations for future leaders that are trying to build that skill set is that, as tough as it may be sometimes, just direct and consistent feedback is always what's best for both parties. It communicates respect to your team members to approach them in such a direct manner and avoids that ambiguity around their performance versus your expectations, which again, I think just ties back to how people want to engage and be managed by their teams these days.
No, I mean, you know, I do agree on that. You know, over communication, it's very important these days, especially like, you know, with like remote teams. And as you said, you know, agencies or startups can be very hectic. And many times you're like, you know, with your head just in the sand, looking at the day to day without seeing like, you know, the big picture. So yeah, I think it's a good point there. Have you also noticed anything changing or something exciting new? It could be either on the shopper side, you know, like social and search are getting more and more together, you know, thinking about, you know, TikTok competing with Google right now, on or like, you know, creative side as well, analytics. Is there anything that make you like, you know, is there anything that you're following currently that, you know, makes you excited to look at?
Yeah, I mean, shoppable social is something that I think has been a really hot topic for a few years now and something that I've passionately followed. I think it is the future of where we're headed, and not necessarily speaking towards influencers or the impact of those partnerships, but just the way in which social is connecting the dots back to that path to purchase. And I think specifically for us, what's been a challenge and something that we've had to keep our eye on or be strategic about is not being a D2C company. So with the ultimate goal of pushing that grocery store purchase, whether that be in store or through a grocery delivery partner, I think being able to tie social metric, you talked about tracking, being able to tie that back and be able to track those efforts against our top KPIs, which are these grocery sales, has become really important and crucial for us to figure out. And I think there's a few partners that are helping do it well. I think one shout out to our SMS partner, Aisle, who has really helped us tie some of those, what I'll call historically upper funnel efforts for grocery partners, back to, you know, submitting that cashback receipt. So yeah, to your point, I think as shoppable social continues to evolve and change, it's going to continue to play an even more and more crucial role in that journey. And I think that's going to be really exciting to watch.
And so since we talk about tracking, let's give like, you know, an example, right, for people that might not know about like, you know, Daring Food, right? Like, so let's look at maybe one of your like, you know, best sellers, let's say, you know, items out there. And like, you know, let's go through like, you know, from again, you know, online, social media, could be like, you know, again, you know, search, TikTok, YouTube, whatever. And then let's look into like that product and then how do you track properly, you know, for instance, it is like online or also like, you know, through like, you know, store purchase, right? So you already said something, but let's even just like give a bigger like an overview again about the product, right? So people can understand what we're talking about and also like, how do you look at that? And then I have a couple of like follow-up questions on that, but I don't want
Yeah, no, this is great. And measurement is one of the topics I love to nerd out about. I think it's so important and maybe under discussed. Mm-hmm. So Daring Foods, we sell a frozen plant-based chicken alternative. And our biggest differentiator is the fact that we're a true better for you upgrade, as we're made with a short list of simple ingredients. And you called out our top products, which for us, our gateway drug into our product line is our original plant chicken pieces, which carry six simple ingredients in comparison to competitors that have upwards of 40. So it really was a huge problem we were solving for our consumers. A problem that we had doing that, as I mentioned, was the fact that we were an D2C brand. And I think being a D2C brand really opens up a world of measurement that brands that are only sold directly in grocery stores maybe don't have access to. So for us, it has been really important to figure out what are the ways in which we can tie those digital channels back to our in-store grocery delivery sales. And then beyond that, are we able to be more granular and use unique identifiers, whether that be Amazon attribution tagging or UTMs or dedicated digital experiences that we've built for our fans. That's been really important as well, to not only see like on a larger scale what channels are working, but are there specific partners that are really tipping the needle for us, or creatives that we have, or messaging. So yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest ways we do that is through our SMS partner. The world of shopper marketing, to your point, digital shopper marketing has also really evolved when you think about partners like Instacart and Ibotta and things that Walmart and Amazon are doing within the grocery delivery space. So yeah, I think for us, that's been the biggest challenge, but also I think an area in which we've uniquely been able to succeed in as a company. And yeah, to your point, it's been crucial in really justifying the value of what social is bringing to the table for our brand.
Hello. Is your brand ready to amplify its reach? Well, the Influencer Marketing Factory is here to do just that. We are a global influencer marketing agency helping brands ignite their growth, from influencer identification to campaign strategy, handling legalities and agreements to managing shipping and logistics. We have it all covered. We work with hundreds of brands across different verticals, from Fortune 500 companies to DTC brands. And we don't just stop there. With detailed ROI analysis, we help brands like yours measure success, transforming impressions into actionable conversions. You can find us at theinfluencermarketingfactory.com or just search the Influencer Marketing Factory on Google.
And you know, specifically to social media, right? Because, you know, of course, you know, we always primarily talk about, like, you know, influencers and, you know, content creators on the podcast, right? I was wondering, what are some of the most important KPIs that you usually track when it comes to specifically social media? So, you know, of course, like, you know, final sales is important, but is there anything else that you look at when you want to run things on social media? And it could be organic and also paid media together.
Yeah, another great question. And again, answering this through the lens of a non-D2C company. So when we rely on social and influencers for that brand and product discovery, we know it's one of the top ways that our target audience is searching for and finding new things that they want to try. So for us, as it relates to just that initial introduction, really about the quality reach that we're getting, which is a hard thing to put your finger on, sometimes an art and a science, but we try and ensure that it's not just the most efficient CPM, but we're in the right place and we're reaching the right people. I think as it relates to those lower funnel efforts, tying things back to that point of purchase, whether that be social to a online retail experience or social pushing our SMS cashback initiative where people can submit their receipt and kind of get that promo or reward for interacting with our brand. That's typically how we're looking at our KPIs across social right now. Again, not being a brand that is heavily concentrated on curating a historically more traditional website experience.
Also, like, something that you know, got my interest before, you said, like, you know, you had, like, you know, this problem, right? And other had this problem, like, in terms of, you know, looking for a solution, right? And in the middle of it, like, between the problem and the solution, usually there is a message, right? And so I was wondering, like, how do you work on storytelling these days on social media? Because, you know, like, we all know that nowadays people want not only to look at the brand because of the brand, they want to look for this, like, you know, the story behind the brand, the founder behind that, right? The values of something that brands can bring on. So how do you, like, create, like, something that is captivating storytelling these days with, like, all the noise around you? And have you found anything specific that works on social media these days?
I'm so glad you asked that question and asked it in that way, because I think a personal peeve of mine is brands that launch and expect to be successful based on the brand itself. Mm-hmm. Because, and, you know, potentially my broken record moment of this podcast interview, but authenticity is such an important thing to maintain and manifest across your social content. And it's not something that you can retroactively make up. So your brand has to be authentic to its core and be solving a problem, in addition to having a brand that kind of reflects those values, to your point. So I think if that's where you're starting and you've built a community of these diehard fans because you're solving a problem for them, it's a lot easier to ideate and bring to life compelling content and a compelling narrative that your fans are going to want to continue to care about. And to use Daring Foods as an example, again, for us, that was the fact that people were being sold plant-based alternatives from competitors that maybe weren't a true better-for-you option in comparison for their meat counterparts that they were swapping for. So for us, coming to market and saying, here's something you can actually feel good about, and trying to push the category forward together, but with an option that we felt was less deceptive potentially to what was on the market, it solved a problem and then allowed us to create really compelling content around that. So what we found to be most successful is those simple narratives that kind of help drive that home, just experimenting with different ways to reflect how we can solve the problem of a healthier lifestyle, or helping you integrate plant-based meat alternatives into your diet once a week, or, you know, every now and again in a helpful way. So I think if you're authentically solving a problem and your content is making that education entertaining, I think that's definitely where you see the brands be most successful across the social platforms in 2023.
And, you know, also still on this, right, because I think it's very important to have, like, you know, a community that is not just like in a passive audience, right, but someone that actually is active, right, in the growth of the company. This reminds me of another episode that we did like months and months ago with one of the co-founders of Midway Squares. They're also like DTC. They're trying to like not doing these products, like no more on the, you know, like trying to compete with like no chocolate, you know, big industry and so on. But we discussed it, right, about like how much it's important to ask your customers, right, what they want to see, because that is how you build a brand of actually what people want to see. So in your case, do you also do that? Like, do you ask your customers, let's say, what they like, what they don't like, new flavors, new, I don't know, whatever like that. So if, first of all, if you do that, what is the best approach for you, like to track and to get these insights, potentially make them into a new product, or maybe include some of these feedbacks to make the products even better?
Yeah, we 100% rely on our social community as the front lines of the information we can get back, right? And that feedback loop we have, especially as it relates to product innovation. So, I mean, there's a few ways we're doing that on social. I think some just being social listening tools that we have access to. I think a lot of the times we're directly requesting feedback, whether that be, you know, leave a comment, some of those like Instagram story interactions, definitely trying to ask our fans what they want to see more of. And I think where that becomes really special is we also have access to survey-based tools and industry research where we're kind of doing our own work to hypothesize, like, not only what do we think people want to see now, but what's the future of the category and how can we play a role in filling that white space, or, you know, pushing things forward. And I think it's a magic moment when we've done the research on our end and we think we know what people want, and then you start to ask social and it's kind of confirmed that, yes, that's what we'd like to see. I mean, that puts you in a place, you know, that's a really good gut check that you're headed in the right direction. So we do try and, again, I guess art and science, right? Like, we try and cobble the two together, and if we're meeting in the middle, it usually means we're onto something.
That's a good point. You know, I saw so many brands, especially in the DTC, that create a product thinking that they already know the answer to the question of consumers, and then they flop, right? Because actually, maybe the founders, they thought there was a bigger market, or they were actually solving a problem that didn't exist. So I think that is really important. Do you also like anything like in person? Like you said before about like, you know, surveys and so on, but have you ever also like experienced anything like in person, like, you know, with like, you know, sampling or asking for direct, like, you know, feedback out to consumers, or is it still primarily online?
Yeah, no, we definitely do sampling as a part of the product innovation roadmap. I mean, especially for us, it's ensuring that our grocery partners are also really excited about it and want to put it on their shelves. So we get a lot of feedback from our shopper community as well as our grocery partner community. And that kind of helps us tailor it and make it perfect before we roll it out for everybody to enjoy.
And, you know, also something else that I was very curious, there is something that I feel kind of popped up in the last 2-3 years. In addition to, again, like, you know, the creative side, analytics and tracking, it's basically try to merge different communities together, right? And usually how you do that with partnerships, right? And you know, I saw that you guys, like, you did something with, like, you know, companies such as, like, you know, Bluestone Lane, Juice Press, maybe also others that, I don't know, maybe you can mention. So first of all, how does it work, like, you know, creating a partnership like that between companies? Like, how easy it is, how difficult it is, and also, what are some of the benefits that you and other, like, you know, partners could have while, again, you know, merging different communities, different, like, tastes, different people together?
I'll answer that in kind of a tangential way. Like, I completely agree that we are seeing a boom in the past 3 years and potentially a bubble of what is creator and influencer-led brands or products, which has been very successful. I think your question as it relates to our food service partners and having that be, you know, what's the role that that plays in our journey or the benefit to our company? And I think especially for wider reaching chains like Juice Press and Bluestone Lane, like, our ultimate goal as a company is to normalize plant-based alternatives, right? For this to be something that tastes so good and solves the problem of a true better for you upgrade that people at least want to eat it once a week again, right? Or swap it into their diet sometimes. And partners like that for us are really such a great way to build that mass trial. And what we found is it was very mutually beneficial to both parties because they, I think a lot of partners, a lot of companies are looking to highlight their sustainability efforts or fulfill sustainability goals that they've set for themselves without lowering the standards of what they're providing their customers. So again, in the case of Bluestone Lane and Juice Press, where they were using our plant-based chicken on their menu, they didn't have to compromise on the quality of ingredients or the taste, and they were able to highlight that as sustainability efforts they were providing their customers. For us, we were able to, you know, get our name out to all of these people that might not have tried plant-based, might not have tried our brand. So definitely, I mean, you bring up sampling, like, what a great, you know, way to kind of sample and push people maybe to grocery, as well as just push the category forward as a whole. Yes, those partnerships have really been invaluable for us.
Also, like, when you say, you know, to having, like, you know, standards in quality and everything, I think it's also, like, a good point there. While, you know, there are maybe certain companies that are offering part of, like, you know, category, let's say, like, Juice Press, right? It was for the Jewish smoothies and so on, right? But maybe when you want to open up to a new category, you go maybe with a partner, right? That already has, like, a very good product, right? So you still extend that because I'm pretty sure that if you go to Juice Press, like, you want to have, like, you know, green in your life, right? You want to, you know, you have, like, a lot of vegetables and so on. So why not to continue with that? Instead of, like, maybe Juice Press having to create their own products, they can partner up, right, with you. I don't know if that was the case in that case specifically, but that's why I guess sometimes these partnerships start, right?
Exactly, right? You know, if the Daring brand represents premium, mm-hmm. a premium plant-based swap, that's exactly why they came to us. And I think, I guess to tie this back to the larger conversation, why, you know, social takes on a larger and larger role within the purchase journey, the people with the largest voice, aka the followers, are who people are going to collaborate with to get the word out. It's the new radio, it's the new TV. So I think you're exactly right that there's immense value to finding other people, whether it's directly within your category or more of a lifestyle play outside of your category, and not only from an influencer side, but a brand partnership side, a product innovation side, you know, iterating it within the entire business is just how do you capitalize on the currency of what somebody else has built across social to, yes, like, hopefully in a mutually beneficial way, like, further both brands.
Amazing. Yeah, I can see again, like, you know, between, as you said before, like, you know, creators, there is, like, not anymore, like, seeing each other as enemies, right? But actually, you know, how we can collaborate, because at the end of the day, it's a win-win. And I also can see the same, like, now for brands, right? Instead of trying to fight each other, it's like, let's complement, like, you know.
The TikTok houses are such a great example of that, I think.
And what else, like, again, you know, we cover many things today. again, you know, from like, you know, the creative side, how to captivate storytelling, like, you know, and people these days, partnerships. What else, like, are you really excited that you're working on, or maybe something that you are looking at and be like, oh, that's something interesting that other people today listening to the episode, they should know about?
Yeah, no, as it relates to Daring Foods, would love for everybody to know that we just launched a new line of frozen entrees that are 100% plant-based, gluten-free, packed with protein, and whereas our original product line is very cookable and you can kind of use it in many different recipes, these are meant to be microwaved in 3.5 minutes. So it's a very convenient way to fold our product into your life or satisfy more of those daring cravings. I think as it relates to our conversation as a whole, I think everybody should be keeping a really strong eye on shoppable social right now. I guess using TikTok is the best example. And I got your newsletter about this, I think it was last week or the week before. You know, they're structuring their shoppable social in a way that's specific to D2C right now. And I think supports the creator community, and they've tied this back in a very strategic way with the price promos and the way that they built that program. I think, you know, tying it back to the struggles non-D2C brands have had, I only see the partnerships with the retail media networks such as the Amazons, the Walmarts, the Instacarts, merging with these social platforms and having that continue to evolve. And again, I think social will continue to play a bigger role in how people are not only discovering but buying, you know, especially CPG. So an exciting time to be within the social space, and I'm really excited to see, you know, in 5 years look back and see how everything's changed.
No, absolutely. I can see the, you know, the war happening between different social media to try to get like social commerce store right. Not easy. Like in China, has been working for a long time. Here in the States and Europe, still struggling. We already discussed this like many times on the podcast on the why, I think, is that. But absolutely. And I can see also, like, you know, it's interesting with all the, you know, there have been so many startups and companies doing like delivery of food and so on. So I'm pretty sure that after all these, let's say, chaotic times of social media trying to understand social commerce, delivery, you know, like companies trying to understand what is the best, you know, business model behind that. I'm pretty sure that in maybe in a year-ish or something like that, we're going to have better social commerce with better delivery, right? And so I also want to see what is going to happen in there. Do you think there is something that is going to happen soon or later? Like, are we talking about like 1 year in your opinion, or like more of a 5 years because people have to get used to this new way to buy things?
Yeah, another great question. I mean, you said something so important, which is the global signs are there. I think culturally, potentially a slower pickup, maybe. My bet, within the next 3 to 4 years, I think you'll see a significant shift in once the functionality of the retail media networks kind of better merges with social commerce in that way, in a more streamlined way. I think that's what's going to really catapult things, because your availability to purchase, your agnostic availability to purchase based on like wherever you want to buy it from, I think that's going to be a huge shift. And then I do think the next shift beyond that, and something that has been a hot topic but nobody's really figured out or customers don't want yet, is certainly, and it's funny because coming full circle, but tying that social digital experience to real world, whether that be like AR, VR, whatever. I think there's going to be some really interesting stuff as tech evolves and the capabilities of what we can do. That's going to be really interesting to see how tech and shopping kind of converge in that way.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of things are happening at the same time. And also that's why I think that sometimes it can be challenging, right? Because a lot of tech is getting, you know, ChatGPT, now the new news, like, you know, that can do basically like, you know, what is it, like, you know, hear, talk, and whatever, like there's these new things about it. VR and AR also, like, you know, too. So I feel like the tech is going there, but then something is tech and something is like adoption of users, right? And you could have the best tech out there, but if people are not using it or in the right way, or they are not like very open, right, to do a purchase in a certain way, you're going to always have a gap, right, between the tech that is going to then a direction. But then again, you know, behavior of people, it takes years, right, to change psychologically just to be, okay, now I'm going to buy all the way through social commerce.
So. I definitely think that's the cultural pickup. And then as a closing statement, I mean, you throw AI in there and you think of how that's going to affect shoppable commerce or recommendations or what we're able to do 5 years from now. I mean, I think it will be a seismic shift in adoption. But yeah, I mean, again, the global signs that this is the direction that we're heading in are certainly strong in there. So yeah, it's going to be exciting to watch.
Thank you for joining me, Lorraine, today. I'm also now curious, as you said about the entry, like, you know, new dishes to try. So you got me curious there. I might you know, like try something. Is there anything specific that you recommend?
Well, first of all, I'm going to send you some. Thanks. So I'll follow up with you after this. Yes, I recommend if you're going to try Daring Foods, please try our original plant chicken pieces, which you can basically swap into any chicken recipe. Mm-hmm. You can cook it in multiple different ways. It's delicious. Shred it, dice it, whatever you want to do. I think if you're looking for something really easy, check out our new buffalo plant chicken wings, which are both plant-based and gluten-free. Throw those in the air fryer. They're delicious for game day, like if you want to have some abs. And then again, I mentioned our frozen entrees, which are currently available at Sprouts Farmers Market. So pick those up, ready in 3.5 minutes.
Amazing. It's almost noon now that we're recording, so I'm getting hungry. Just talking.
We're grabbing one, yeah.
Amazing. Lorraine, thank you so much, you know, again, for sharing about your background, your journey so far, and what you're doing, you know, at the precise moment, and also, you know, your future, again, like, you know, some of the bets, right, in market, and for sharing metrics and case studies with us today.
Thank you. This was wonderful. Such a good time. I appreciate you having me on. So thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. This was the Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory, and I'll see you next week.